You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai o e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
And Al is here!
First time!
Hi.
Hi. Last week, Sustainable Business Network released a report addressing the entire plastic packaging system from a circular economy perspective. James Griffin, the general manager of projects and advisory at Sustainable Business Network, called plastic packaging a fundamental problem for New Zealand. The report looked at what businesses and packaged goods suppliers can do to help contribute to solutions, as well as suggestions for government action. In response, Associate Environment Minister Eugenie Sage claimed the report shows that the government is on the right track to tackle our waste problem. I spoke with James Griffin to determine if New Zealand is actually on track. I began by asking what currently happens with New Zealand's plastic waste.
Yeah, well, it's not that clear, is it? And there's some different messaging coming through. But what we do know is that New Zealand is in a similar situation to many other developed countries around the world who were sending the bulk of their plastic waste to China, where now that route is effectively closed in many instances. What we know is that there's certain types of plastic that retained a relatively high value, which enables them to economically be collected, processed and recycled, and that is clear PET, which is largely what drink bottles are made from, and then natural HDPE, which is what milk bottles, the natural looking milk bottles are made from, and majority of the rest of the plastics is effectively going into mixed plastic bundles, which is really attracting, you know, uneconomical prices. So it's really difficult to get those to places where they can be effectively recycled, because there isn't really the demand for them. And then that's, I think, there's some high profile cases we're seeing in the news where some of New Zealand recycling has been apparently followed to Malaysia, and the processing systems are apparently questionable in those sorts of places. So, you know, one of the things that the report indicates is that, you know, a greater level of transparency is really required, so that we do know where our plastics are going, and that visibility will play a major role in preventing the sort of poor practices that we've seen in the media.
Who decides what happens to this plastic? Is that something that government is deciding, or is that business? How does that work?
It's effectively a commodity market where businesses will have a role in collecting and sending plastics to processing facilities overseas, because we don't have many in New Zealand, and they will be looking at the sort of market prices that they can get, which is sort of governed by sort of global commodity prices. So, you know, individual processors will be looking at their customers and determining pricing from them. Mm-hmm. So it's not a price that is set by government.
Wow, that's crazy. There's an international market for plastic waste, basically.
Yes, effectively. And some plastic waste for recycling is reasonable value, and others are not. But a key element for businesses and then consumers to consider is how they can support an increased value for recycled content and material, and, you know, help make the recycling markets more economical. And that is businesses looking to include recycled content in their packaging, so making commitments and to a certain percentage of the plastic that they use in their packaging to be recycled content, and for customers, so the likes of you and I, to look out for that on the supermarket shelves if we we are buying plastic, favouring those that come in packaging with recycled content. So that helps drive the market for recycled plastic and increases the incentives for it to be collected, processed and recycled.
I've heard that less than a third of plastic actually gets recycled. Do you know if that's true?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the elements that's clear is that in New Zealand, at least, that data is lacking. So it's a bit sketchy in terms of those recycling rates because we don't really collect the data. But what we've seen on from global studies is that they're saying that, you know, only on a global level, 14% of plastic packaging is collected for recycling on a global level. So, you know, that's not a lot at all, really. And that varies from type of plastic materials and countries, of course, but on a global level, it's significantly poor. So that same study by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation is saying that of the material, plastic packaging material, not collected for recycling, about 40% is going to landfills, so holes in the ground, and 32% is leaking into the environment, primarily our marine environment, and then 40% is effectively burnt, incinerated to go into energy recovery.
That's so hard to hear.
So that was the same study that projected that unless we arrest the situation with plastic packaging, there will be more plastic by weight than fish in the sea by 2050, which is a horrific thought, and so a galvanizing one for all elements, government, businesses, and, you know, civil society to actually do something substantive.
One of the main conclusions, I guess, is that the number one priority is getting plastic out of the supply chain. And I'm wondering, what are some of the structural or systemic obstacles to making that happen?
I think effectively we've developed an expectation for convenience over the last 60 years. Plastic has got some amazing properties which makes it suitable for carrying and protecting food relatively cheaply, and so it's durable, lightweight, so transport costs are perhaps lower than other materials. And also, you know, there has been an element of packaged good companies differentiating themselves via packaging, which create increased complexity within for a recycling context, and which is not great from that aspect in terms of, you know, different types of closures or locks or etc. So 60 years of optimizing the use of a particular broad material type has taken some effort to unlock and pivot to another, to an alternative way. So in terms of some of the barriers, it's around what are the alternative solutions that work right across the system, which includes filling and distribution and retailing and then use at home, that offer the same properties and cost that plastic does. And so new technologies are still emerging, and some are not yet proven, some are more expensive. And one of the key roles of plastic packaging is to extend and preserve, you know, the shelf life of products. So we need to be careful that substitution of a packaging material doesn't have a negative impact on shelf life to the extent where food waste or product waste is increased, because, you know, the production and distribution of food is an incredibly intensive process. So there's a number of elements to sort of transition within these decisions.
Obviously, these things need to be part, these need to be put into policy. Government needs to be part of the solution, because it's impossible for individuals and businesses to solve this problem, because, you know, we can only change so much of the structures, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you have any idea about if this report is likely to be put into policy, or how seriously government is taking it.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. Everyone needs to play a role, and government needs to play a key stakeholder here. So the Ministry for the Environment have signed a global declaration that by 2025 that they'll be supporting plastic packaging being reusable, compostable, or recyclable in practice, crucially. And a number of other countries and cities around the world have signed this commitment, as well as a number of businesses, and the likes of the Sustainable Business Network as an endorser. And so what we're saying in our report is that we need the government to demonstrate their strategy for how they're going to deliver on that, which needs a significant input. For a start, there needs to be a clear picture of what the situation is, and data will play a key role in that. And then there are a number of policy levers that we think will be required, and the government need to look at which ones they believe that they need to implement, because you're totally right that there's only so much that businesses and customers can do.
Is that global commitment binding, or is there any consequence for not meeting that?
Well, it's a voluntary commitment. There needs to be reporting on what's been achieved, and if those aren't met, then the organisation who's put that together can take some action in terms of excluding it from that global commitment if they're not being met.
I was just thinking about climate change commitments that have been agreed upon, and but there's no consequence to it, it seems like nothing changes, really. It can get a bit overwhelming just trying to wrap your head around how entrenched plastic is in our lives, and then going into the grocery store and looking around and thinking, how is this going to be transformed?
I can sympathize. It is a big ship to try and turn around. But I think there's a level of unprecedented will amongst businesses and the customers and consumers and government to look to solve it, which is a good starting point. And of course, well, we're looking to play a role to help build on that intention and will, and help to bring to fruition the recommendations that we put together in the report.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.